I've been traveling through experiences with death this week. Of course, I'm sure like you, I've been following the news of the terrible tragedy after the earthquake in Syria and Turkey. The scale of loss there is just hard to fathom. I've never personally been in something that devastating, that dramatic. Then, in addition to that, on Wednesday, at the request of my mentor, Pastor Julius Carroll, who was here and preached at my installation, I went to Jamaica Hospital to visit his cousin. She was intubated and unconscious, overwhelmed by cancer in her body. I spent time with her and her daughter amidst the machines, beeping and the rasp of her breathing machine. And I received word from Julius that she died on Thursday. Yesterday I accompanied congregant Linda Mandrakia as she and a gathering of family and friends held a memorial out on the Coney Island Pier for her longtime friend Polly. We laughed, we cried, we sang songs, and we commended Polly to God's hands. He was 57. And as I do this time of year, I recall Eula, such a core part of St. Lydia's year after year, always asking questions, always curious. Eula died 2 years ago in February of 2021. I stood there as she was buried in the Jewish cemetery on Staten Island, near her childhood home. A year ago, I ventured out to visit her gravesite and discovered there was no gravestone. Of course, it's something that only happens if you order it and pay for it. I should have thought of that. But I came back and shared that news, and the community together raised the money to have a headstone, a gravestone made. And it's been installed now. I brought a picture to pass around. I shared the picture with her lifelong friend, Deborah Rothman. And Debbie said, given the transiency of Eula's later years, I'm really glad she has a permanent resting place, a place that will always be hers and where she can't be asked to leave or be unable to stay. I hadn't thought of it that way, but yes, exactly. And it was Debbie who pointed out to me how much it would have pleased her that her adopted Christian congregation had paid for her gravestone at the Jewish cemetery. Eula was an intellectual, a curious person who in part was drawn to Christianity and to seminary because she couldn't study the scriptures in her, as a woman, in her Orthodox Jewish community that she grew up in. However, she maintained a connection to synagogues throughout her life and was very active here at St. Lydia's as well. I was thinking of her particularly, but of congregants at St. Lydia's with Jewish backgrounds and congregants who have dear friends who are Jewish, as I read this passage. It has a danger in it, and I want to address the danger. There are probably many dangers in it, but there's one particular one related to our Jewish siblings that I want to name, and then suggest one way, at least, to hear the text in a life-giving way. I hope. This section of Matthew's gospel is often referred to as the antithesis because of the framing Matthew uses for each of the topics. You have heard it said, but I say to you. Similar sayings about these topics are found in the other gospels, but without this particular structure. The danger is seeing them as with an anti-Semitic lens, with a reading that says Jewish law is insufficient and Jesus offers a better Christian teaching for us to follow. Such a reading fits with the whole framework of what is called supersessionism, a problematic theology that sees Christianity as the fulfillment of biblical Judaism and Christians as the replacement for Jews as God's chosen people. But here Matthew offers examples of what he's just described as Jesus' goal in his ministry just a few verses before. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. So the set of teachings might be better described as intensifications, in which Jesus draws our attention to the thoughts and feelings that lead to harmful actions. It is, if you will, not the action itself that causes harm to others, but what arises within us that leads us to act in ways that harm others. Rather than reject ancient teachings, Jesus here offers a path of harmony with them, a path towards beloved community. The last line, "Be perfect as your heavenly parent is perfect," fits this idea of a path toward beloved community. The challenge here is not perfection, actually. The Greek word that's translated perfect, and I wish it wasn't because it creates such reactions in hearers, is the word telos, which better translated would mean something like aiming at the goal or the destination. The metaphor is an invitation directly related to Jesus' preaching of repentance in Matthew. If repentance is metanoia, turning around, then when we turn around, our path is to seek the telos, to aim at the goal. And the goal, as Jesus puts it in the last verses, is love. Interestingly, then, the goal or telos is just love. But it's also where we start the journey, not just where we end it. Note that our capacity to turn from a place of harm to a path of love is itself because we are loved even before we repent, even before we turn around. Jesus says the sun rises on the good and the evil alike, and the rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous alike. In other words, God loves us regardless, wherever we are on the path. And the very act is the means by which our own healing can begin. In the face of death, Eula's death, or any other death, I find I step back and reflect on the big picture. I may have hurt someone, or been my best, most caring self, or as is more common, some mashup of both. Whatever happens, though, the big picture in Jesus' teaching here is that what is possible is only possible because we are loved. Our path to beloved community begins with community being beloved. We share the sermon here at St. Lydia's and we'll spend a few moments in silent reflection. Then when you hear me ring the bell, you're invited to share a story or experience that was sparked by the sermon or the scripture text. We share stories rather than opinions or crosstalk because Jesus told stories. And stories help us know each other better. We begin in silence.